good. Like I sat down and all the stuff that you kind of like find boring didn't find boring at all.
I think what
I don't know. I think it was in overall it was good. It was very good.
It took too long. I'm tired. All right, fine. Sorry. All right. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon. Where you guys been? I know we've took a long time to get back to the podcast, and it's only because, you know, life is still, you know, hitting hard, pretty hard. Last time I was talking about, you know, losing weight and stuff like that, and I feel like I have, but I feel like I've been gaining weight. It's kind of weird. So when I was running and stuff like that, I wasn't weightlifting. So when I started to weightlift and do cardio, I feel like I stayed at the same weight, but now that I'm looking at it, it's like I'm losing fat loss, which is great. Like I think I'm getting more toned. I look like I'm getting more toned, but the fat loss is kind of like getting, it's just shredding off my body, which is great. That's what I wanted. And then to look even more muscular. I mean, that's kind of the best thing to, you know, get out of all this, and not look skinnier like I did a couple of years ago when I was doing the intermittent fasting for like 2 to 3 months. And it was a lot. I lost a lot of weight, but, I also lost a lot of muscle. So, cause I was getting tired and stuff like that. So that came with a whole big thing. But other than that, I'm also just trying to learn more things. The channel is growing on YouTube. We're now over 1,000 followers, subscribers. I think we're up to, if I'm looking at it right now, we're up to 1,889 subscribers, which is huge. I didn't expect that. I thought it was going to take maybe till the end of the year. But, you know, with shorts helping a lot of the channels and posting, you know, the videos that I posted on YouTube on the shorts and just making it seem, well, it's really the ones I posted on TikTok. So people could come from TikTok to our YouTube channel. I posted on shorts and it has changed the game. We're almost at 1 million views for the Teen Titans episode, where Starfire goes into the future and sees Cyborg as an older person and Robin becomes Nightwing at that point. And you know what's funny? Everyone stayed around the same height except Robin.
Yeah.
Raven stayed the same, and so did Beast Boy, except he got bigger, you know? But Cyborg was pretty much the same, same size. Other than that, it was just our faces that aged. But yeah, I think we're at a good point where we're getting looked at a lot, and you know, we might get a little, we might become a channel that gets monetized, which is really good. So, hey, you know what, we're still fighting the good fight. I didn't post this week only because I just didn't get enough time to finish the video. But this week's video is, well, it's going to be postponed till next week. I think we should do at least one or two videos a week. I think maybe two videos a week, two videos in a month, but one video every week. I think that makes sense. So, wait, hold up. So every Saturday I will post around 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. But that would be every week, just except this past week, only because, you know, work was just crazy. But I want to post two videos in 1 week in a month. Does that make sense? So you're getting five videos within a month. That's just, yeah, whatever. Anyways, other than that, I think we should just rant a little. I feel like we should bring that back since we did that, the second year of doing the podcast, or I think the first year of doing the podcast, and also just talk about, what were we going to talk about? I totally forgot. Let me see.
Well, you wanted to talk about The Mandalorian. I haven't watched it. I've seen The Last of Us. You haven't watched it. So we can't really talk about that.
Right. Yeah. Can't talk about that. Because, I mean, Mandalorian is like 23 to 25 minutes long an episode. And then you got The Last of Us, which is an hour. It's almost an hour.
Yeah.
Like 45 minutes.
I've been the funny thing, I also been listening to the Last of Us official podcast with Troy Baker actually doing the interview of the creator of the game, who's also part of the show and the creator of the show. And it's really like hard-hitting questions. Like he really asks the top questions, not like, so what did you think about this? Like, it's really gets in there on how they work the dialogue, what question, like the questions that he asks that, and why did he use particular dialogues or certain events, why certain things were changed and things like that. And it's really cool. And the last episode of The Last of Us, when they're talking about it, it's pretty deep because they really get into Joel's character and the events that transpire at the end of the at the end of the show, because it was like really deep, and whether to make certain choices that sort of like, if you were a parent or not a parent, what choices would you make at the end? Because there's a choice that Joel makes, and even in the video game, when that choice is made, people were saying a lot of things about it that they didn't like. So they did the exact same thing in the show. And when they're talking about it and how Joel makes that choice, you really go in the heart of what is a parent and who is not a parent, and how being a parent, if you were a parent, of course you would make that choice. If not, if you weren't a parent, then you probably choose otherwise. And it's really cool how they get into it, like the philosophy and the psychology of it, and characters that they wrote about. It's really good at podcasts. I'm not sponsoring it.
No. But yeah, I just wanted to go for a rant, and now that you were talking about it, I don't remember what the rant was, honestly. Oh, okay. Yes. So wait, before the rant, a couple minutes before we started doing the podcast, I was on Twitter and I was like, okay, what's new on Twitter? And apparently Jonathan Majors has been arrested in New York City, or in New York, due to having a he was arrested in New York City this morning for an assault. Alleged that the victim was reportedly hospitalized and now is in a stable condition. Yeah, a lot of people are saying already that Ezra Miller, it's like another Ezra Miller incident, but Ezra Miller had a lot of incidents before, you know, beforehand, and he was just losing it. So I wouldn't compare the two like that, but it's almost similar situations.
Yeah, but when Ezra Miller did it, he did it. There was no mention of the publicist even remotely saying that he is a lie, nothing happened. Because the publicist is there to protect you. You know, that if you have a publicist and you're an actor, the whole thing is that he's supposed to protect you if it's a lie. So if what you said is the publicist actually protecting Jonathan Majors, I'm pretty sure it's a lie. Something is up there.
Yeah, so, you know, so the publicist has said that he's done nothing wrong and that we look forward to clearing his name and clearing this up. Now, I mean, a lot of publicists would say that in a different incident. I never heard anything from Ezra's publicist or anything like that. So I don't know. I don't know. We don't know. We should find more information out when, you know, the time comes. But I would say so far right now, it's looking like it's not good news for Jonathan Majors, and we'll see what happens. You know?
Let's see what happens. It's funny because speaking of publicists, in Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum, he was interviewing Sam Witwer, who was the voice of Darth Maul in The Clone Wars. And he was obviously Star Wars, The Force Unleashed. He was also the face of that character. And he was getting interviewed. And at some point, remember, he was in the show when he was becoming Doomsday.
Yes.
And they asked him if he had a relationship with Allison Mack at the time. And then when, you know, crap hit the fan on her being in the cult, they wanted to ask him questions saying that he was in a relationship with her during that time and all these things. So he got sort of pissed off. Even TMZ posted it out there. And so he went to his publicist and says, look, this is not true. And you need to squash that, because if I need to get roles, regardless of it being a lie that it's not true, they might not want to deal with that hassle and that trouble, and they might not hire me. So his publicist actually called TMZ and said, if you could prove with pictures and photos that he is in a relationship with her, you know, then do whatever. But you have to prove that to us. If not, you're going to have to take back your story. And after TMZ took back the story, every little newspaper and social media decided to take everything back. And he ended up getting the role in Supergirl. Mm-hmm. So it's crazy how certain things do pop up without just so they could make it in the news. And with his popularity, and with Jonathan Majors' popularity, it's downright crazy that all of a sudden it's coming out of nowhere. You know, he had two films in the 1 year, in a span of that 1 month, on theaters, Creed 3 and.
Yeah,
and if you want to count that he's on Loki,
he was,
and
in
then
that,
you know, he
was in that movie. It's an Air Force type of movie with the guy that was in the Top Gun. He played Frost.
Yeah,
yeah, he was like Frost.
Yeah,
anyway.
So in the end of the day, it's like it's sometimes people just want to bring people down at times to just sort of, you know, and now these it with. The way things work these days, no one knows what's going on. You know, there's been other instances with a lot of actors sometimes get a bad rag, or something happens that they get into a fight or things like that. And some actors do admit it. Oh, this happened. Yes, I got arrested. I got belligerent. That was stupid of me. You know, and Ezra Miller a couple of times has been saying, yes, I said this, they did that. Some people said some stories about him and things like that, but at no point whatsoever did he ever go online to say that, oh, I didn't do this, you know, or there was never any, even the pub or no information of saying, no, Ezra did not do this, mm-hmm. you know, but right now, and from the looks of it, it looks like they're trying to defend the publicist is trying to defend him.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. So. Let's see what happens.
Yeah. Okay. So we should talk about how I didn't want to even see Shazam 2 because the trailers looked The music, the music was fine. It's summing up, right? But the trailers just didn't feel appealed. Like, why in the first movie at the end credit scene we get what's his name, Mr. Brain? No, that's not his name. The little caterpillar guy? What's his name? Mr. Mind? So Mr. Mind is one of those that is a small little insect, but, you know, wants to cause evil in the human world. Anyways, why do you have him at the end of the credit scene with Dr. Savannah, and then all of a sudden, you don't even use him for the second movie?
That is true.
That's so pointless.
It should have been the main... villain.
That should have been cool. Should have been huge. I mean, you had Starro for, you know, Suicide Squad. Why don't you have him? Have him become a huge freak, and then, you know, he has something with Dr. Savannah, and then they have another plot. But instead, you wanted to use different gods, which is fine, and then you have dragons in there. Nobody gave a damn. I don't know.
Well, according to the rumors, if it's true, and it's been mentioned a lot, Shazam was supposed to have the Justice Society.
Yes, that is also true.
Yeah. And The Rock didn't want to have Shazam appear at the end. He wanted Superman. So there was two cameos that were removed from both Shazam and Black Adam that The Rock didn't want. He wanted to do it his own way. So the stupid thing is that they're saying that the films could have been better if they would have kept those supposed cameos. But I don't know. I think they, if they can't have what they have to work at it as like, okay, we got to have to work with something else since we can't do anything else with this because we can't have these cameos, then we have to work, we have to go another angle, you know? And they went this way. What sucked is that they ended up also, I think they removed Wonder Woman from the cameo, or did they add her on? Because I heard they were removing her due to James Gunn's becoming leading the DC universe. I think Wonder Woman and Superman were supposed to make a cameo in Shazam, and it didn't happen. And then I hear that the Justice Society was supposed to appear, but who appeared were the people from James Gunn's Suicide Squad instead of the Justice Society. So I don't know. It's with these two, and I'm pretty sure Aquaman is going to go in the same route. It's going to die. DC universe is going to die out. And the crazy thing is that for some strange reason, and I don't know why, but how Tom Cruise is out there saying that The Flash is an incredible movie and the director did a great job.
Yeah, that's really weird. When I saw that, I was like, what the hell? How does Tom Cruise have any idea? Like, how do you get the rights to see that? Like, what?
I know, it's weird. But then, you know what's funny? I was thinking in my head, it's like, why did he say that? And then, like, a couple of seconds later, I'm thinking in my head, you know, how interesting would he be to be a villain, to play Reverse Flash? Have Tom Cruise play a villain. I've never seen him play a villain, except Vampire Lestat in Interview with the Vampire. But, you know, he was sort of like, he wasn't much of a villain, you know. He did have villain qualities, but I don't know. I can see him because of being Reverse Flash has this cockiness and this sort of charming disposition where he could pull it off. Like the way he was in Flashpoint Paradox. I don't know. Like I could see Tom Cruise being cocky and very like villainous just with his character. And he doesn't have to like... He doesn't have to have the red eyes like they pull off in Flash or things like that. And I think he has that sort of quality to be the Reverse Flash.
Yeah, he does.
And be petty and angry. Yeah.
I mean, I do feel bad for the director for Shazam 2. I mean, yeah, I guess he worked very hard on it. And he was also limited, I guess, to what... the movie was going to be, but again, like, I don't know. You can't give an opinion when you haven't seen the movie, and I've said that many times, but I just didn't feel like it was appealing to me. I cared more about Creed 3, which I never even went to go see the Creed movies. I just waited until it came out on, like, on HBO or somewhere where I could watch it, you know, like Amazon Prime, but yeah, I just didn't give a damn for the Shazam. Which is kind of sad because lately that's been going on with a lot of superhero movies. I'm not saying there's a lot of them coming out, but it's just like I don't feel like there's some urgency to go see the movie when it comes out anymore.
I agree. I think we've been I don't know, I've been feeling like we've been losing sort of touch with that. I think at a certain point it blew up during the Iron Man, when Iron Man first came out, and the first Iron Man, and was it when it came out? Is it 2016? What? No. The first Iron Man, when it came out.
2008.
Wow. So 2008, it came out. And, you know, Marvel blew up. But it had us go to the theaters every single time. We were all seeing a connection with the Avengers and everything. And I feel that Marvel is kind of falling off that, bringing the connections in again, like they were doing so well with the films that it was overall connection. Now with the shows and the movies, the shows on thing is kind of scattering it a little bit, but you have to follow them. And we're getting, how many storylines are we getting with the Secret Invasion plus Kang the Conqueror coming in and Thunderbolts coming in? So all of that is, storylines is kind of scattering throughout. It's not very like a straight line like the Infinity Saga was, that we all knew where it was going to. Thanos was the main boss. We know that Kang is the main boss, but we're not getting those connections in all the films. We only got that connection in Loki. And Loki and Ant-Man.
Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness, I think, too.
Yeah, but
a little bit, but that's more of the incursions that they cared about, and also like different time zone. Also kind of got that in Spider-Man with variants. So there are variant talks, but it's not really like the big bad of, like, you know, they didn't mention Kang. They didn't have Kang in the mist.
What I would have loved to see is when Kang was telling Ant-Man or Scott Lang about how he probably killed him or killed the Avengers or Thor. In that conversation, I wouldn't have mind seeing a sort of flashback of him being the conqueror and all of them just laid down on the ground, like dead, just to see how powerful he has become and how the world was in a state of just chaos or whatever, just to see how powerful he was to be able to defeat the Avengers. You know, just saying I feel like it doesn't give a lot of leverage, you know. Like I feel like it needed to sort of be seen, sort of like how the Illuminati ended up beating Thanos. We saw Thanos on the ground, you know, with like half of the gems, and we saw that he was defeated. So I would have loved to see like Kang being the villain, being like the person who just like destroyed them, like sort of a flashback. It's like, this is what happened, or not even what happened, but sort of like I stopped you all, and, you know, a little quick flashback of him being him, you know. So because there was moments that could have been removed out of Ant-Man that didn't need to be said necessarily. 2-3 minutes of conversation moments that were like, this is not needed. Yeah, we don't need this type of humor. I felt that MODOK was just a joke. When this character that was in the first Ant-Man who nearly wanted to kill his child. It's like he should be taken serious. He should not play do this as a joke, you know. So there was, you know, again, it's like, are we right now the only two films that sort of felt like it felt great to watch? It's Spider-Man and probably Wakanda Forever. I felt like those are the ones that's still in me to watch. Mostly Spider-Man. And that came after Infinity War. And, you know, it's like, can a movie top the amount of characters that came out in The Last Avengers?
Yeah, that was a big tangent we just went on, but actually kind of on par. I mean, yeah, Shazam, DC, I don't know what they want to do. It seems like they're just creating they're just doing Elseworlds story movies, which is very confusing to other people. I wouldn't say it's confusing to us. With this Flashpoint movie that's going to come out, you know, given that we've seen Ben Affleck now in the new trailer, we see Michael Keaton's Batman 1989 come in, even though that was also in the DC Legends and the whole crossover with the DC Crisis. Yeah. It's like, where are we? If that flat, now that I think about it, since that was kind of connected to that, right? Wasn't it connected to the Crisis?
Yes, Ezra Miller did appear as the Flash in the Infinity Crisis, Crisis
on Infinite Earth. So, like,
in Crisis on Infinite Earths,
we're gonna see Grant Gustin in that movie. I don't know. I mean, it makes sense that they both have their own Flashpoints separately, even though it's connected somehow. I mean, they're never going to explain that ever to us, because they don't even know how to explain it properly, I think. But where was I going with this? Does the DC movies matter now? I don't know.
I don't think, I mean, according to James Gunn, he said, okay, with Jason Momoa, because they said the possibilities of him being Lobo with this new change. But James Gunn said he can't be two characters. So what are you saying? Are we keeping Aquaman? Then he also said that the Flash will kickstart an entire universe, which will be perfect if it just ends with Flash and you do not bring Aquaman 2 in. Just let it be. Just let it get washed. Just let Flash wash the entire universe gone and just start the next round of DC movies. Making them Elseworlds, which is cool, is it gives other people the opportunity to make their own Batman films, their own Superman films on the side without having to connect to the overall DC universe, which is great because it gives people freedom to be like, I got a Superman movie of my own story I need to bring out if we could do this, you know. And then James Gunn said this, which is weird. He says, well, we're going to give Superman and Lois a couple years. He's not giving whatever season, how long is it going to be? So I think he said 2 or 3 years, maybe.
Did the new season start?
Yeah, I saw the first two episodes.
Oh, it did start. Okay. Is it good?
Yeah. Oh, it's freaking heartbreaking from the beginning.
Oh, it is. Oh, okay. Okay. I mean, I know the new Jonathan is in. I don't know if he's it's weird. It's weird to see him be.
No, it's weird, but he looks more like his brother. A little bit more. Okay. Like when I see him, I felt like he looks a little bit more like him. Like they feel more like twins than the other kid.
Okay.
You know? And this one feels more like he doesn't feel like he's as like he would be popular. Like the other one felt like he was more like, you know, this one feels
I don't know. It's for some strange reason, it felt like these brothers felt like they were actual brothers. Like there was a sort of connection between the two, like the way they act, the way they sort of like walk away when they're talking with their parents, like when the parents are like saying go over there, or they're like we're talking, or you know, it's funny. Like it's like I'm looking at it, so it's like he feels a little bit more. They feel more like twins than the other two.
Okay.
I feel like they were always bumping heads all the time.
Yeah.
The other two. Here, it feels like they're writing it more as if they're very more connected. And then with the story they're going on, they finally show Mannheim. They're showing this new villain. I'm pretty sure she's a female because she looks like she's a female. But she has a mask. I don't know who this character is. I haven't mentioned the name. And she has a mask and she's able to do sonic sound waves and make it like shoot like pulses of energy that comes out of her face. Pretty powerful. We might see a relationship with Henry Irons and Lana.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah. We might see a relationship with Bippo and Lana's ex.
Wow.
Yeah. And you could see like Jordan's trying to. There was this one part. It's not much of a spoiler, but it made me understand him being a hero. There's a moment that Jordan tries to save people, but he caused more damage than he did to save them. And Superman kind of, you know, saves the day, tells him you cannot interfere. You need to learn more about your powers before you get into anything like that. You know, I will teach you, but it will take, you know, it takes time. You can't jump ahead if you need to save others. And there's a moment where he's hearing people in trouble. And the girl that he's going out with comes to him and says, are you hearing something? Is it bad? And he's like, yeah. And you can see it in his face, how sad he is that he can't do anything about it, which is like almost breaks my heart that he's to be able to hear people in danger and you have the abilities to probably save them, but you have to stand back because you don't know if you're going to cause more damage than there already is. And so they're really doing a good job right now. It's opening up pretty well. And right now there's some heartbreaking news in the show that I was like, man, they really just decided to bring this in. And it almost like, I'm like literally ready to tear up. So it's like, I want to know where they're going with this. And I think it's so far, the two episodes is pretty cool.
Okay. Okay.
I like it.
I always think now back to when someone's mentioned Superman Lois, is that scene when he goes around the whole world and then just like comes back down to Earth and does like that pose, but screams in anger and just, oh my God, it's just beautiful. I was like, wow, this is in many ways very cliche-ish, but it's so beautiful and mesmerizing and perfect the way that they did it. Oh, the CGI team just did amazing on that one. It's great. But I'm glad to hear that this season's really good. I mean, I was kind of scared of where they were going with this. Especially last season, I was just like, okay, so we're going to go to the Bizarro world. All right. So how is that? Then it was kind of cringy a little bit, but it's also like, okay, they really brought it out. Like they just went all out and said, all right, it might feel like it's cringy, but their acting is just so good, man.
No, yeah, I have to agree. There's probably some moments in the show that I felt a little, that I feel like, okay, this premise here feels a little more like DW-esque.
See, yeah.
But then the overall acting between the characters and Lois and their relationship and just that fun thing between them and the kids is like, honestly, it's the best one of the best Supermans written because it has more. He's not just like a hero hiding himself in a relationship with Lois, you know, husband and wife dealing with the day to day. He's always saving her half the time because she's always getting into something stupid. And then he's like, has to save her, but then he has to go do something. Now there's like so much that he has to work on, and it adds more to the Superman character. It's like, you know, the super sons and his relationship with his son. Adding that is great. You know, like, yeah, and the way they work as parents, as they double team, you know, it's like the best thing ever. It's like I'm telling you, that's like husband and wife.
Their chemistry is perfect. Chemistry is very perfect. Just like perfect. Lois is just perfectly casted. The voice is perfectly cast. I mean, just perfect. It's just a great relationship. You don't want to miss it. And I feel like I've been missing it, but I forgot that it came back. I'm just watching other shows like Manifest. A lot of people are talking about Manifest on Netflix. I think you should watch it. It kind of feel, you know, since we come from a geek world and geek culture and been watching this science fiction type of stuff, it's very similar. It feels very similar. It's like we already saw this, but there's like more conspiracy added to it. So people in a plane, I think they're going from Jamaica to New York. In the plane, there's like a what they call, they basically disappear. But for them, it's only been a couple seconds. For the rest of the world, it's been 5 years. So they come back into the world 5 years later. So relationships are different. People are grown. Their kids are grown. You know, some people lost others, you know, either significant others or parents. People moved on. So you see the relationship, but there's a big conspiracy about it. And it's pretty like, okay, it's good. It keeps me wanting to see more because of just the conspiracy. It's like, oh, okay. Oh, that happened? What the hell? And then this other character is annoying, but it's also like now they're kind of like working with them in a way. And I don't know. It's fun. It's a good conspiracy type of show. That's totally sci-fi-ish. And also they're having callings, kind of like what's going on in the future type of thing. So I feel like I've seen this before. I just can't put my finger on it. It's like a combination of other shows into one. You know what I mean? That's basically what, you know, other TV shows have become now anyways. But
I it's funny because I like there's sci-fi shows that I get into and then the sci-fi shows that I was like, no, I'm going to miss this one. I don't think it's going to last that long. Because it also depends on what channel they decide to start. Because I think Lost sort of opened that doorway to the sort. Actually, there was a lot of shows that opened. But I think Lost in the 90s ended up opening that sort of doorway for people to get into that sort of a realm of mystery and fantasy and sci-fi. And after that, they started trying to create more shows like that to sort of intrigue people. I remember I didn't get into Lost. Everybody was getting into Lost. They were like, you should watch it. But that was done by J.J. Abrams. And I remember J.J. Abrams was huge at some point with Lost, Cloverfield. And then he was doing? He did Super 8. He was coming up with what was the other stuff that he was coming up? Fringe, Star Trek films. You know, J.J. Abrams was all over the place. You know, so I started watching Fringe. I think during the time where Lost was kicking it, so that was his other show. It lasted, I think, 3 seasons. Had that sort of weird alternate dimension type of show where science creates these monsters and all these things. So it didn't last that long. I think sometimes certain genres don't fit well on certain channels. It seems like sometimes there's like the police, the cop shows fall into like one channel that everybody watches, you know, and then there's sci-fi stuff will fit in another genre, and then that genre will fit in another channel. Sometimes it's weird, and sometimes they don't make it. It's like when Young Justice was on, was it in the morning on
Cartoon Network? I was in the mornings.
In Cartoon Network. But because what came after it was all these little Powerpuff Girls and all these little cartoons that were like more for like 5-year-olds. When Young Justice was telling us stories about adult stories that kids won't probably even process.
Right.
Or 5 or 6 year olds won't even get to it.
Yeah.
You know, like I think you have to be sort of a teenager to understand Justice League overall storyline. If you're like, not saying that they wouldn't understand it, but and if it was an 8-year-old to see the Justice League, they would understand Superman saving the day and Batman saving the day. But the adult conversations or of how Luther's becoming president because he wants to come, Brainiac controlling him, Darkseid coming out, and all these things, and the overall science of it and the conspiracies in between over their heads until they grown up and said, I don't even remember half of these things. So it's going on in a tangent. Honestly, it's very difficult. Hopefully the shows that are very popular stay where they at if they're getting views. It's all the time. Sometimes certain things change and shows don't get, you know, this opportunity. And with streaming and everything is, you know, back then we used to have to like switch channels to go see whatever show it is. Now we have to see it through streaming or through Hulu to watch these things.
Yeah,
which is great. Yeah. You know, because and then you could binge watch and, you know, it's like, I'll see it, you know, Tuesday. I don't have to see it on the day it comes out, you know.
You know, it's funny because a lot of the animation goes to Cartoon and Disney Plus, Cartoon Network and Disney Plus and Nickelodeon. But also, you know, I think it'd be cool to see DC stuff in Cartoon Network instead of the CW. I get that they're trying to add drama to it. But I feel like Cartoon Network is that type of home for DC that they've established and built that I don't think it should have that type of drama anymore. If they know that people are not watching it because of the way that they write it like that, they should totally get different writers and new writers that are tired of that type of drama. Like, again, we go back to like the really basic line of you are not the Flash, we are the Flash. And it's like, that's not, it doesn't add any drama to it. It's just lines that are given to the character, but it doesn't feel any, it doesn't feel fulfilling to the character. And also given that, you know, comics are is basically soap opera in a comic book, you know, paper, but in a book, but it shouldn't be fully, I don't know. I just think it should be in a different network because a different network would change the writing. It's given a different direction. It's a huge cinematography change for it. I mean, we've seen that with Superman Lois. It's written differently. It used to be on CW, but it didn't feel like CW because of the way that it was handled, given that HBO was really, you know, trying to push it out of CW at that time. you know, it wasn't with the CW production, I would say, but still.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's very,
Or give it the, or move, like, even though Flash is now finally ending, like, what if Flash were to have been on HBO and given, and had been given that writing, like, whoa, like Superman Lois, and that cinematography? Like, it would have been darker, but it would have been, I think, brighter for them, in a way.
It's the thing about it. It's, I don't know if it came out of the sort of Smallville. I mean, Smallville was great, but I feel like every time they come out with like a CW show, it's like The Flash or Green Arrow. We got Green Arrow, then we get Diggle. Then we get Felicity Smoke. Then we get freaking Three Black Canaries. Then we get a whole bunch of these things. We get Speedy. We get all of these characters. The overall lore of what Green Arrow is, all the characters. And then it's like, you know, it stops becoming, at some point it stops becoming a Green Arrow show, and it becomes Green Arrow and the team.
Green Arrow and Friends. You know?
Yeah, Green Arrow and Friends. And then The Flash is the same way. As you get all these other characters, they alter their storylines, and then, you know, we get a new a team, and they're all working together to stop this one villain. And, you know,
Smallville didn't do, though. Like, yes, certain episodes, you know, we had different characters with different powers, and the villains were really the people with powers. Sometimes, you know, like we got Aquaman at one episode, Green Arrow for a while stayed on, but it didn't feel like it was their show. They weren't given that much screen time compared to what they wanted to give other characters and Clark. Clark was there most of the time, and that's what I liked. It with Flash and Arrow, it just kind of, the story was different between the two. The two characters are differently written differently. The show is written differently, but it started to become and Friends, you know, Green Arrow and Friends, Flash and Friends. DC Legends, I think, would have been great, and in a way, it's like their Doom Patrol. But then it got a little too quirky
for my taste. If a show, the thing is, if a show is about a team, I would understand that there has to be a team that are working together. But then you're introducing characters after character to sort of just to have Flash be in a relationship with other people. So we won't have just Flash just saving the day half the time or dealing, you know, with certain things. But at some point it worked back then in the 90s when they had the Flash for Wesley Chipps. He was on his own. Yeah, he had relationship. Iris was there, and there was Friends because he had a scientist friend that was there, and then there was villains. But at the end of the day, it wasn't Flash and Friends. It was Flash, you know. They knew about his identity and things like that, but it wasn't like, hey, let's go find out where this villain is and then, you know, go find Tech. And it's like, oh, now it's becoming a freaking sort of Justice League type thing. They're always trying to create like this sort of the Flash and the League type thing, and or the Arrow and the League type.
I mean, it could be if they changed and reinvent the wheel and say, hey, you know, we're going to stop Flash for a minute, but we'll have this on the sideline. You know, I mean, that could be a thing. Why don't you, instead of just having individual characters have their individual shows, why don't you have a big show with the whole team, you know?
See, that's what I love also about
animated sometimes movies or animated series.
Well, animated movies and sometimes British TV shows, they're not afraid to change certain things in for the overall storyline, like the show Being Human. you know, you get the character of a ghost, a vampire, and a wolf living together. And in the future, they were ended up changing, and they ended up changing the characters to change the storyline. And certain times, they're not afraid to sort of like, we're shifting this right now. Let's do this way. Look at you know, Doctor Who, when what was his name? The first Doctor. Well, the first Doctor, if you've seen the biopic that was on BBC during the 50th anniversary, he was getting ill. He wasn't being able to read the scripts anymore. He was finally difficult to read the dialogue. And because they didn't want to cancel the show, they decided to regenerate the character into another actor who was able to do it, instead of just like, we're going to cancel Doctor Who. And so sometimes you could change that. I would, you know, it would have been great if we would have done the whole Barry Allen disappearing during the Crisis of Infinite and doing the whole thing where he beats the Anti-Monitor. And then Wally West takes the place.
They're like, why don't they do that? Yeah, reinvent the wheel, reinvent the character. You have different people that take up the mantle. Use it. Give it a break. You're not saying you're going to not bring them back. We're going to see them back. We're going to see the actors back. That's, I think, what Stephen Amell should have done, you know? Instead of him dying through in the whole crisis, spoilers, he could have been gone for a minute and we could have had his daughter. I mean, that's what they wanted to bring, or not even his daughter, Roy, bring him back. I mean, I don't know why he left the series anyways, but
the thing is that, and it sucks because it also depends on the writer, on the actors, on what they're trying to do. And sometimes, you were seeing it a lot of shows where the main characters, females, don't often succeed. And I don't know why, because there's been a lot of shows that females are very strong. I think Buffy went very, very long. 10 seasons, I would like to say, probably 10, 11, I think Buffy went. I remember during that time it was on WB before it became CW, and then it ended up in the UPN Channel 9 because they were doing some contracts and stuff. And then when it went to UPN, I think the WB became the CW. And they kept Angel, which lasted 5 seasons. But the overall, the female, that character was there. And Alias too, which I think was done by April. I think Abrams did Alias, I believe. So, but they were trying to come up with different characters, female leads and stuff like that. And it never went. A lot of the characters didn't like, we're not going to put money on it. Because they're male characters. So I feel like the Canary thing didn't, because I feel like they were not going to go behind these characters. They were not going to be appealing characters, and I feel like they weren't even appealing in the show. And I feel like putting a show, the characters are great when they're with those characters, but by themselves, I don't know if it's gonna work.
Well, even with Stephen Amell's character, like if he was just brooding all the time, yes, I think they should have. Like, we've been waiting for the more, I wouldn't say quirky, you know, Green Arrow, but it was more, he was more mostly, you know, giving one-liners and making jokes here and there while fighting, but also keeping, you know, he was agile. He wasn't Batman brooding.
Yeah.
And
no, he was, yeah, that's why his relationship with Green Arrow was so cool. They have that sort of like witty banter, joking around and things like that. Even when Kevin Smith was writing for the Green Arrow, the jokes were hilarious. They were fun. His relationship with Hawkman was fun to read and things like that. So it was like, we're getting, a combination of Batman and Green Arrow, which I understand he's struggling to get these things, but, he was a funny guy, and we saw that in the Justice League, even with his relationship with Canary, or even with the Justice League, when he got serious, he got serious. But even in, which I found funny, I think it was Alan Tudyk who was playing the voice of him. Is it Alan Tudyk who was playing the voice of him in Unlimited? Or was it in the Green Arrow with the Jon Stewart? Either or, it didn't matter, but he was still comedic, but he still did the job right, and he was still Green Arrow.
It was going to be four people.
Will Friedel? Oh, sweet. He was the one who played Batman Beyond.
Oh, yeah. He was. Anyways. Damn, I had something to say for that, but I don't remember. But I think we should end it here anyways. Well, I'll cut this. I did get tired of in Arrow.
It wasn't long because you were making margaritas.
Yeah, that's true. I was getting pissed off in Arrow, and I'm probably in a minority here, but every single time in the first season, I think in the second season, they would always have flashbacks of him going to him living his life in the island. I was so over the island.
Yeah, it was five seasons, and they finally removed him out of the island. The only time that I liked when he was in the island is when Constantine came in. That was the only time. Mm. Every other one was like the Deathstroke situation, his relationship with the Asian chick that Deathstroke liked and he liked, and he, honestly, no. What pissed me off as a storyline that I feel like this should not be, whoever wrote this was very stupid, was Deathstroke. He was the villain at some point in the season. He killed his mother. And a couple of seasons later, he's talking to him as a friend. If somebody killed my mom and I was the Green Arrow, I'm not going to become friends with you.
Yeah.
I'm going to go after you. And I remember there was a comic book of Green Arrow. I think it was the JSA. What was his name? The bad guy. Oh, I think it was the Prometheus. Prometheus. He went on a freaking spree. I think he ended up killing Arsenal at some point, and something happened. And Green Arrow put an arrow into his head. He was the one who killed Prometheus back then, because Prometheus was literally causing massive havoc. And he was the only one who felt like he needed to be stopped. And it was pretty powerful to see him in that way. There was another comic book, I can't remember, but I know, I think it was written by Kevin Smith, where this guy hurts one of the villains. I don't know if it was Onomatopoeia or Prometheus, but I think it was Speedy, and he was in surgery and he was in critical condition. So the main villain was there who did this to Speedy, and Green Arrow is literally pulling the arrow into his head and said, if he doesn't make it, this arrow's going to your head. Like, he's literally like this while the doctors are doing surgery, pointing the arrow into his head. And I was like, see, in the first season, we ended up getting that sort of I'm killing the bad guys, Green Arrow, you know, and it was enjoyable to see that because we don't get DC heroes who kill, you know. We get the sort of Punisher characters like, you know, Red Hood to kill because that's his agenda. But once we see Green Arrow, we don't see that. He's the hero. He's like Batman, but a little bit more comedic. And, you know, he shoots to wound or he has a punching glove arrow. But here it's in the beginning of Arrow, we got to him to start killing. But things needed to change because then nobody will see him as the hero he's supposed to, even though I'm pretty sure people were seeing him as a hero regardless. And sometimes, CW wants to write the characters the way they want to write it because they feel like, this is an alternate version of this character. We don't need this. But even in the times that CW has written about Green Arrow, Justin Hartley ended up with Chloe, and
which I wasn't a big fan of, but I feel like they also didn't give him a good love story. Like they kind of hinted at it, Black Canary, but still, yeah.
Yeah, they both ended up having the Black Canary in the show because Black Canary did appear in Smallville, and we thought like, oh, they're going to hook them up. No, they totally scrapped that and they have them go in a relationship with Chloe. And they did the same thing with Arrow. Felicity. They decided to have her with Felicity.
Yeah, he got with two tech nerds, which is funny, in two different separate shows. Whatever.
Yeah,
I think next 2 to 3 weeks again we're gonna try to come back and talk about either Creed. Well, I'm definitely gonna catch up on The Last of Us because I know there were, you know, big discussions about The Last of Us and season finale. I know that the second season I heard that they're not gonna bring, yeah, so they're recasting the girl, right? Because she's a couple years older, so they're gonna do part two, right, in the next season.
I know they're gonna do season two, but I think that I think they're keeping the girl. It's a by then I'm pretty sure she's gonna be.
I don't know what happens. I don't know if it actually like if they finished it like the first movie. So
I don't know. No, because I know The Last of Us still has the part two. I mean they're gonna go by the directors and the creators said this is like, we're gonna sort of keep that sort of essence that the first show have, that just like the game. That's what they're not gonna change. There'll be alterations, they're gonna be new. They said they wanna add more clickers and bloaters. They said that we're gonna see a lot more.
I still haven't seen the clickers, so I'm excited to see the clickers in episode 3. I think that's when they come in. I mean, it's in that building. I know they go into that skyscraper that's like tilted. So I'm ready for that, yeah.
And they do show a bloater. Oh, okay. And yeah, so it's really cool. That dude was like not Hulk size, but Hulk strength, just literally tossing things left and right. And I was like, this is what we need. I was sick and tired of seeing The Walking Dead and seeing zombies being very slow and still not manage to dodge these zombies. And here it's like they run after you, which it's a little bit more scary. And the way it works scientifically, it's freaking genius. I think they did a good job sort of using actual science and sort of, you know, making it a little bit bigger and you know, it did a good job. Instead of the usual zombies, it's like you die, you come back to life, and still didn't make any sense to me.
Gotcha. All right. With that being said, we'll catch you next time, hopefully 2 to 3 weeks. But, you know, we're still going to be posting YouTube videos. Next video, I said, is a Teen Titans episode. Instead, we'll catch you guys next time. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, as Geek Mythos, YouTube Geek Mythos, Instagram Geek Mythos. I mean, everywhere Geek Mythos except the podcast. So if you want to go on Spotify, Geek Mythos Podcast, you want to go on your, what was it, iHeartRadio Geek Mythos Podcast? I think we're on iHeartRadio. I'm not so sure. Amazon audiobooks and / podcast, we're on there. I think it's music and podcast, Geek Mythos Podcast. So until then, I'll catch you next time. Have a good one, guys. Bye.